پایگاه فرهنگی اطلاع رسانی راسخون.
So we'll start here with a look at how ASP.NET pages are processed and how you're going to work with them. So in general, ASP.NET pages, every ASPX page that you create is going to be parsed into a class definition, as you see right here. So it's going to be parsed into a class definition, and that class is then going to be compiled into an assembly. So a standard .NET assembly that contains the class definition, whose sole purpose it is to process requests destined for that endpoint. Now this assembly is going to be loaded into the worker process, w3wp.exe, in the cases of IIS 6 and 7, and it will then the class and the assembly will then be created and requested to process the request when it is dispatched. So these classes are created on demand, and this happens for every ASPX file. So it's an important thing to get into your head as you begin working with ASP.NET that every time you write an ASPX file, you are fundamentally writing a class definition, and we'll look at how we can actually influence that class definition. So in general, what you want to think about as you're building ASP.NET applications is that you are fundamentally just integrating with an existing class framework by building additional classes, extending existing base classes, and controlling the class generation from the ASPX files. Now, to show you this in action, let's go ahead and go to a demo here. And what I thought I would do to start is create a very simple page and host it in IIS, and then just take a look at the class that is actually created for us by ASP.NET. So I'm running server 2008 here, which means it's running IIS 7. And I'm going to go into the default website on this machine, which is an inetpub www root. And I'm just going to create a new file. Let's create a new text file here. And I'm not going to be using Visual Studio for the moment because I just want to keep things very clear and without any clutter. So let's just create a new file called hello.aspx. And we'll go ahead and edit that file just with a notepad editor. And let's type in, again, just a very simple web page here. Maybe just an H1 element that says hello.asp.net. And then we're going to run this thing. So this should be accessible now in the browser. If we go to localhost and then hello.aspx. Okay, so that's going to map us onto the virtual directory that contains this file. And let's go ahead and hit it. Okay, so there's our hello.asp.net page. Now, what I want to show you is how ASP.NET processed the request, because at first glance, it sort of seems like it's doing nothing more than serving up the HTML content, just like IIS might if you had a flat HTML file. But what I want to show you is that every time an ASPX file is requested, it does go through this class creation mechanism. And the first time it's requested, it goes through the parsing of the file and the source code generation for that class. Now, we can easily find this out. Let me just add a couple of things to this page here. The first thing I'm going to do is add a page directive, which you almost always have in your ASP.NET files. And this lets us influence the page class generation. So let's start by specifying a language for the class that's going to be created. And I'm also going to do one more thing, which is set debug equal to true. And what this will do, in addition to setting up a debug build, is will cause the source code files to stay on disk after the page has been accessed. And that's what's going to be useful for us, so we can actually see the page's class definitions on disk. And then finally, let's do something down here. Let's say I was loaded from in a nice little H3 element. And in here, I'm going to put use some script. I'm just going to use some server-side script. And I'm going to use the evaluation syntax, percent equals. And I'm going to say get type. I know that I'm in a C# or a .NET class definition at this point, so I can retrieve my type definition. And once you have the type, you can actually access the assembly from which that type was loaded. And the assembly has a public property on it called location, which will be interesting for us because that will actually show us where this assembly was physically loaded from. And what I want to do is go open up that directory and take a look at what was generated. So let's try refreshing the page again here. And notice I now see that the assembly was loaded from here. In fact, you can see the actual assembly name is right there, appweb blah 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 dot dll. So what I'm going to do is go open up this directory right here. Let's go ahead and open that up by doing start run, pasting in the definition or the directory location. And here's my directory. So it contains the residue from the compilation process, which in this case, because I chose debug equals true, includes a couple of source code files. Let's take a look at this first one here just by sending it to a Notepad editor. And that is, in fact, the one I wanted to show you. So what we have here is the actual class definition that was used to service that request. So it didn't actually just take the straight HTML to service the request. It compiled this this page here into a class definition. And let's inspect a little further. So it created a new namespace, just an ASP namespace. It put some using directives in. And if we scroll down, we see the actual definition of the class, which in this case is the name of the file with the dot replaced with an underscore. So that's how ASP.NET generates class definitions. It will also include directory structures as part of that naming scheme, as you'll see later. And it derives from a base class called system.web.ui.page. So this is the standard base class from which all ASPX files by default are derived. Now let's go poking around in this class just a little bit to see how it ultimately rendered this response, right? It was able to render this H1 element as well as this H3, which had some dynamically generated content embedded in it. So if we scroll down a bit, you'll notice eventually we find a function that includes some strings here that were written out directly. So this is a function that is called as part of constructing a tree that's going to actually render the response. And inside of here, you'll notice that string, which is the beginning of the page that I wrote, including the H1 and the first part of the H3 prefix. And then it has some dynamic code injection. And notice it's got a link back to my which line that code came from on the original page. And this is what I typed in. That was my evaluation syntax, get type, assembly location. And that is simply written back to the response object, essentially. And then down here, we have the completion of our HTML, which is just the rest of the static content of the page. So you can see how this this file was processed and parsed into a class definition so that when that class was created and requested to process the request, it sent back this static content as well as this dynamically evaluated expression as part of the response. So that's sort of the fundamental mechanism of ASP.NET. That's how requests are processed and how pages end up being created to service requests in ASP.NET.